We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following is a presentation of Learfield. Welcome to Duck Insider.
Our whole athletic department, there's a level of expectations of success.
Throw, catch, touchdown, Oregon.
He can run and slam.
This is back out for a three. Left wing is good.
In the air to center, back at the wall. It's out of here.
I'm really excited that we get to rep our Ducks
and hopefully come back to Eugene with some championships.
Indoor track and field national champion.
Oregon repeats as the Pac-12 champion.
And for the fourth time in the last 6 years, the Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
We have so many teams that are excelling right now, and it's really fun to be a part of.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Oregon taking down Arizona. The Ducks 1-0 this week, 1-0 in Pac-12 play. Coach Cristobal talks all the time about how the Ducks just have to go 1-0. So far they've done that four times this year. Now they need to do it maybe 8, 9, 10 more times. That's a pretty successful season for the Ducks. I'm Joey Mack. Thanks for being with us. We just wrapped up talking with Coach Cristobal in the Hatfield-Dowlin Complex Media Center, so we have that for you coming up. A lot of good stuff from Coach Cristobal recapping this one. We also are going to talk with our women's soccer head coach, Graham Abel, because his team went on the road and played the number three team in the country, a perennial not just Pac-12 contender, but a national champion contender in UCLA, to a really competitive draw. Graham Abel is going to join us. The Ducks are still undefeated this year for Oregon soccer. Also, Oregon volleyball with a five-set thriller. And I hate to say this, but that wasn't even the most thrilling thing that happened in Pac-12 volleyball this weekend, because Washington won a set 46-44. What? And then they lost. Washington won the set 46-44, and then they lost to the Cougars. I mean, what? We're going to talk with Matt Ulmer, Oregon volleyball head coach, about that coming up tomorrow on the program. And women's golf, a historic finish. Before we talk football, I have to tell you about this. Maybe the most impressive weekend in program history was capped off yesterday. The Ducks shattered the previous 54-hole program record for both total score and score against par. They shot 16 under as a team. Second tournament win of the Derek Radley era, and sophomore Cynthia Liu finished off an incredible weekend to claim the individual title. Rounds of 66 and 68 to take a two-shot lead in a Sunday. She just, you know, no big deal, shot a 7 under 65, and the 17 under par is one of the best we've ever seen in an Oregon golf uniform. Incredible for Derek Radley and the Ducks. So congratulations to Oregon Women's Golf and the great weekend that they had. That's just a little quick preview of your Cafe Yum two-minute drill. But let's talk football, shall we? What a start for the Ducks. I said my two keys to the game were a fast start for the Ducks. The students were back. They were great, by the way. But can I just say something? Can we turn to camera, like break that fourth wall here for just a second? This is just me talking, no one, no relation from the University of Oregon. Why the heck are we throwing cheese slices on the field, students? What are we doing? One, I don't get it. If it was a joke, no one did. Everyone on the sideline was like, what happened? And this was after I think a lot of people in the stands were also a little confused by the Duck and Project Blue, but we'll get to that later, trust me. So, seriously, it was great to have the students back, but I just want to point out, this is your public service announcement from one Joey Mack. If you do stuff like that, Oregon's sideline gets penalized. There will be a flag on the team. Now back to the show. The Ducks with an explosion play to start, and man, it was awesome to see that fast start because I thought having that fast start would get the crowd into the game. It sure did early on. And then my second key was consistent play. The consistent play, I think, is what the Ducks are still working towards, particularly the end of the first half, beginning of the second half, and that third quarter, Arizona really did some things that dominated the game. More on that in a second. 7-0 start, though, for the Ducks because Jalen Redd just with an absolute burst of a 63-yarder for a tremendous score. We're going to hear that highlight from Jerry Allen in just a moment. And then it was the beginning of the Bennett Williams show for the Ducks with that pick on, I don't know what McLeod was doing. I don't know what he was looking at. But that was a great, great start for the Ducks. So you get that. Would have liked to score a touchdown there, but you kick a field goal, feel pretty good. And Oregon kept answering the entire first half. I thought that maybe the throw of the day was Anthony Brown's pass to Terrence Ferguson. Honestly, I don't think that Terrence Ferguson had any alternative except to catch that ball because it was thrown so hard it buried itself into his chest plate and his gut, and then he had to hold on and catch it. That was a heck of a touchdown grab, and it was set up by maybe the actual catch of the day, which was that Johnny Johnson snatch out of the air. That was the only way to describe what Johnny Johnson did. So overall, the Ducks get up to that 24-7 lead. I think if you're a Duck fan, you're sitting here and going, hey, this is feeling pretty good, right? Well, credit to Arizona because they didn't roll over. After Oregon surrendered to safety, gave the ball back to Arizona, some penalties helped Arizona move the ball. Suddenly it's 24-19, and I think everybody's kind of like, ooh, okay. We have seen a historic number of Pac-12 and top 25 teams go down. Let's not join that club, shall we? Well, to the Ducks' credit, after a rough third quarter where I really thought that Arizona played extremely well, the Ducks did answer, and they finished really strong. They got the ball back with under 12 left. Spencer Webb wide open. Took advantage of a miscue there. Suddenly, the Ducks have the lead. Then McLeod throws his fourth pick. Again, it's Bennett Williams. This time, he takes it to the house. And the call that you're going to hear from Jerry Allen, I told Jerry postgame, I said that he called this like it was a kick return almost. Like, that's how it felt. He kind of, like, Jerry, listen to the call, I'm telling you. He kind of, like, built towards it. And it was like 40, 30. Like, it felt like it was a kick return almost. And then I love the fact, before we get to our game recap and hearing Jerry and Jorgie call it, I love the fact that Nate Hiaukalani had the pick at the end to basically end it. That's a guy who has been through the wars, helped Oregon football in so many ways. It was cool to see him have that moment. 5 interceptions for the Ducks. That's impressive. And another 1-0 week for the Ducks. Our game recap, Jerry and Jorgie on the call.
Let's bring out your Ducks.
5 receivers, empty set, back to throw. Brown, time, throw, wide open, catch, and hit across the 40, still on his feet. Jalen Redd May is and does score. Jalen Redd. Play action, throw coming. Pressure, it's going to be a screen, and it's picked off. There's no doubt about who that was. Twins out to the left. And Burdell with the ball up the middle. Inside of the 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdowns, C.J. Burdell. Brown trips right. Snap it back to throw. Pressure comes. Throw. Oh, what a throw. What a catch. What a catch. Terrence Ferguson. Third and 6. McLeod to throw again. Pump now throws. Got the end zone. Picked. Intercepted. Verone McKinley the third. Second down and 8. Travis died to the right, back to throw. Brown got him, corner of the end zone, touchdown! Spencer Webb. McLeod from the shotgun, and a throw. Pump fake, wants to go deeper down the right side, got a man down there, picked up, intercepted. That's Bennett Williams. Williams cuts it up with Cuss, a couple of guys still on his feet. 50 with blockers, 40 the other way. He's got room, he's got the 20, he's got the 10, he scores! Bennett Williams! About that, Oregon's defense with an opportunity to end it right there.
And the Ducks did basically end it right there. Jerry Jorgie on the call. Wasn't that like a kick return? Like, didn't that kind of build after the interception from Bennett Williams like a kick return? I thought that was great. That's, of course, Jerry Allen on the call with our game recap and another 1-0 week. But things to improve on for the Ducks for sure. But you know what? That's what good teams do. They win games, then they figure out what to improve on. Teams that aren't in Oregon's position that have lost games and improving, well, you feel pretty good if you're the Ducks right now, don't you? Need to get better in the third quarter at the end of the first half. That's something Coach Chris Ball was asked about today. But the start and the finish were solid. So now, if you're the Ducks, you got to be pretty happy with how you finish games. Ducks were in a tight one against Ohio State. They finished it. Ducks were in a tight one against Fresno State. On a 4th-and-2, Anthony Brown converts, scores a touchdown. Ducks win the game. You got to like how Oregon is finishing, no doubt about it. Fourth quarters have been really, really strong for the Ducks. 15 straight wins at Autzen Stadium. So if you don't have your tickets to come see this team at home, get them on GoDucks.com because this is a fun team to watch right now. 11th consecutive Pac-12 home win. And the Ducks are 18-1 at home under head coach Mario Cristobal. The Ducks are undefeated against unranked teams at Autzen Stadium under Mario Cristobal. And the defense picking off 5 passes in a game for the first time since November 13th of 1999. Quickly, because Scott Phillips was there. Scott, who were they playing? December 13th, 1999.
Arizona?
Cal. Good, close. You had like, in 1999, if it was a conference opponent in November, you had, what, a 1-8 shot, pretty much? Yeah. Because it probably that early in the season wouldn't have been Oregon State. It's obviously not Oregon. So, yeah, that was well done. That was unfair of me to do that to you. First time an Oregon team has forced at least 13 turnovers in a 4-game stretch, by the way, since 2013, when the Ducks with that Nick Aliotti defense were forcing turnovers and getting interceptions left and right. The Ducks, though, an impressive finish. Those 5 interceptions gave them 9 for the season, which is tied for the FBS lead right now for the Ducks. Oregon is alone atop the FBS with 13 total takeaways and in turnover margin at +3 per game. Oregon is one of 5 teams in the nation with 1 or fewer turnovers lost. You have to like that, right? The Ducks said when Tim DeRuiter came in, they want to take the ball away. And then offensively, Joe Moorhead said they want to keep the ball. Hard thing to do, right? Don't turn it over, score touchdowns. That's what the Ducks have done this year. And Verone McKinley is tied for first individually in the country. Bennett Williams is now 3rd. And speaking of Bennett Williams, the Walter Camp National FBS Defensive Player of the Week. That's Bennett Williams. He's also, today, the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Week. 8 tackles, pair of interceptions. Nice day for Bennett Williams. I'm looking forward to, hopefully, talking with him this week because he's had a tremendous, tremendous start to the season. You know, the third down conversions were something that Jorgie was talking about throughout the game. The Ducks were 6 of 12, and a lot of those conversions came later in the game. Arizona was 7 of 15, and on fourth down, Arizona was 4 of 4. It seems like, to me, early in this season, the Ducks have faced more fourth down attempts by offenses than I can remember in a 4-game stretch. I honestly have no idea if we could even confirm that my suspicion is correct there. That would be a lot of box score reading. But I'm telling you, it just feels like Oregon has faced a lot of fourth down conversions this year. And the Ducks have stopped them on a lot of different circumstances. Anthony Brown, 10 of 21, 206 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Joe Moorhead said today that he would like to see his quarterback maybe tick that completion percentage up just a hair. But the Ducks are winning, and they've got that important 4-0. 4 in the win column, 0 in the loss column. Noah Sewell was absolutely great again. 14 tackles, and Coach was really, really stoked on Bennett Williams' performance. We're going to hear more on that coming up in just a second. And then Kayvon Thibodeau, everybody wondering. There was load management for him. Coach said post-game he feels good. More updates from Coach Cristobal in just a moment. Stick with us. It's Duck Insider presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We're going to hear from Coach next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of 7. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, On Point proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. On Point Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Don't go anywhere. Duck Insider continues after these messages on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s, like go back to college, learn to skateboard. Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. At aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a free 3-minute chat with the friendly digital retirement coach, Avo, and receive personalized tips to help boost your savings. Start chatting with Avo today at aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Back on Nugget Cider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack in the Country Financial Studio. Let's hear from Coach Cristobal. He just wrapped up his media briefing on a Monday. Every Monday, we're going to hear from Coach Cristobal after we go through what happened over the weekend. Here's the head coach.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Appreciate you being here. I'd like to start off by saying continued thoughts and prayers with Utah football community, family of Aaron Lowe and whatnot. Thoughts and prayers going out to them during this difficult time. That being said, very thankful to our fans, especially the student section coming out on Saturday, giving us a tremendous amount of support. And right back to work, prepared for our second conference game this coming week, going on the road to play against an excellent Stanford team. That being said, open questions.
Mario, your thoughts on how you guys can go about improving run defense as a whole, going up against a Stanford team who, I realized last week, didn't have its full stockade of running backs, but generally speaking, relies pretty heavily on the run game.
Yeah, they pride themselves on physicality. They do a great job, multiple personnel groupings, big, strong, physical. They knock you back, and we've got to continue to improve our physicality and the way that we play the run.
Coach, throughout this entire year, your team, your defense has shown a great ability to make a big play, to keep points off the board, even when the other team is in the red zone. What would you attribute that to?
Resiliency. Just keep playing the game. You know, we've had our bright moments, other areas, other moments where we feel like we could continue to improve upon. But our guys do have a tremendous amount of will to keep competing, keep fighting. We come close on a lot of plays. I think their appetite grows stronger to make a play, and we find a way to continue doing that. So I think really excellent leadership by the guys that are on the field. And they're looking forward to having a great week of practice.
Two personnel questions. First off, a noticeable absence in the participation report was Devin Williams. I'm curious if that's an injury. And then also Seven McGee being the only of the younger backs to play. Was that just something he'd done in practice? Was that based on matchups? What went into that thought?
Well, Devin didn't play just because he wasn't part of the rotation for the game. In terms of Seven McGee and Byron Cardwell and Trey Benson have all done an excellent job. It was just that particular call had Seven McGee in the game. But to his credit, he's been doing an excellent job. Those guys are really good football players, and I think you'll see all of them play more and more as the season goes on.
Last game against Arizona, the team appeared to fall into a bit of slump after halftime, and a couple of timeouts helped you close out the game comfortably. Something similar to what happened in the first game against Fresno State. Do you think that not coming out strong after halftime is a problem for this team, or has it only been circumstantial?
Well, it's certainly not our best on Saturday, and something that we weren't very pleased about. We didn't control line of scrimmage as well as we have in other instances, and we didn't allow ourselves to get off the field on defense, therefore not getting the ball for very many plays in the third quarter. And when we did, we didn't do much with it. So all in all, certainly an area that we can never allow to slip. It's been hot and cold. It's been a plus and a minus. But certainly we want to forge and push forward and improve that area.
Mario, after the game, a lot of the guys talked about sustaining that juice or needing to work on sustaining that juice throughout the entirety of the game. Do you think a road game coming up can help with that kind of sense of urgency a little bit?
I think our guys are very real, and our expectations for ourselves are really high. And so it's all about sustaining performance and execution, and your intensity, mental and physical intensity, go hand in hand with that. And it all goes back to us continuing to coach and play and work and execute with more consistency. I think our intensity, our juice, our energy has improved as the year has gone on. I think we're sustaining things better. I think we have to sustain our discipline and play discipline longer in order for all those things to fall into place like we want them to. But I think that's where I think that's something on Saturday that we have watched on film, address, and immediately started working on, because we know how important that is to our process.
Kayvon was on that snap count against Arizona. Is that still in play against Stanford? And I guess just how is the health of this team coming out of Arizona?
Well, I think he responded well physically. I think he is in good shape to play. We'll see if he can play in an entire game. I think he will. No issues and no physical limitations. So it was important that he got in that game and got himself some snaps. It certainly puts you ahead as you enter the week where you can practice full throttle. Mace got in there and played a little bit more than half the game and looked really well and came out feeling great. So he has a clean bill of health. Brandon Swenson will still not be with us. But Keith Brown is now fully healthy. You saw him play. I believe Damon David will be back in action this week as well, even if it's in a play count or a pitch count capacity. I am trying to think of who else might be in question. Please go ahead and ask me if there's someone else. But I think that sums up a majority of the ones that you probably had questions on.
Wanted to see how a couple of guys graded out on the D-line, Mario, on the edges with Trevin, because obviously he made a couple of pressures in particular. It was quite effective, him and Jake. And internally, Keon and Popo, just how they've done it, creating push and getting a little bit of penetration when they have, and other times where they may need to make some improvements.
Yeah, I think there are some bright spots in other areas we want to keep improving upon. I think that's the best way to go about it. We don't make grades public, not for one reason or another. We just don't. I don't have them in front of me. If I did, I wouldn't mind sharing them with you. But we see tremendous improvement in Keon, and Popo is now looking healthy again. So there's a lot of good play from him as well. I think Trevin deserves a lot of credit for how he's worked himself into being a really good player and helping us out. Shipley has improved as well. Certainly DJ is now getting more comfortable playing the edge as well. So got to set edges to play good football. If you don't set edges, you create a good chunk of problems. So that's something that we certainly want to continue working on and improving. And we expect to get good dividends this week.
Coach, this upcoming matchup with Stanford, one of the more, you know, highly contested rivalries in the North for you guys. What are some, you know, key strengths that you kind of see on this Stanford squad, whether that be offense or defense?
Well, Stanford is a very big physical team. They're very explosive at the skill positions, and their wide receivers are just, they're large guys that could run tremendous amount of speed. They got guys that could run through you, around you. They do a great job coming down with contested balls. They really do. They go over the top of guys, haul them down. You've seen them in one-on-one matchups in the past, several opponents they've played. They have made some monster plays, and they got some speed to go with that as well. So a real impressive group right there. Big and physical up front. They pound you. They knock you back. Quarterback's as good of a quarterback as we've seen, not only this year, years past. He is a guy that has complete control of the offense. He is quick and efficient with his reads, tremendous arm, accurate. He can run. He can hurt you with design plays and pulls, and he could also hurt you by just taking off and scrambling. But he's a game changer. He's a difference maker for them. Defensively, you know, it all starts up front, and their front seven is a really impressive crew. I mean, 340 pounds at the nose tackle position, knock you back, experience. You know, at the four eyes and the guys that jump outside and play the stand-up linebacker positions, their inside linebackers extremely stout and physical and downhill. They really do. They do a great, great job as knockback tacklers to get guys on the ground. And they have the speed and athleticism to go sideline to sideline. Very complete team, very active secondary. You know, a pick, I know at least one pick six that changed the game for them when they were playing out there in Los Angeles. So if you look at their team, they're just a very, very talented team, a physical team that plays hard, that's very well coached, very challenging scheme. They use, I mean, an excess of 15, 18 personnel groupings on offense to keep you off balance. And all of them possess the ability to go by you, through you, around you. Just a tremendous challenge. They are an excellent operation.
Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach. We've got more coming up. Brought to you by the Willamette Valley Cancer Institute Research Center. Fight like a duck with cancer care you can count on. Bringing you every head coach conversation that we have upstairs in the media room this year. Next, more from the head man on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Dear Exit Strategy, no matter which Toyota you choose, there's an exit from the ordinary to match. See you soon, Toyota. Visit your local Toyota dealer or toyota.com today. Toyota, let's go places.
Dear past, present, and future football watchers, football is back! So consider this your official excuse for always putting football watching first, courtesy of Pepsi. That haircut appointment? Seeing the in-laws for the first time in ages?
It's been so long!
Nope, sorry, Susan, not if it's on Sunday. Long story short, after the year we've all had, we think you could use a little football watching. So crack open a Pepsi and cheer your football watching face off. With love, Pepsi. Made for football watching. That's what I like.
Dear Exit Strategy, no matter which Toyota you choose, there's an exit from the ordinary to match. See you soon, Toyota. Visit your local Toyota dealer or toyota.com today. Toyota, let's go places.
Duck Insider, Duck Insider, Duck Insider continues after this timeout on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for greatest of all time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here in the Country Financial Studio. Let's hear more from Oregon head coach Mario Cristobal. Following the win over Arizona, getting ready for a 12:30 kickoff on ABC, the Ducks heading to Stanford on Saturday. More with Coach Cristobal from his press conference just a little bit ago.
Hey, Mario. After looking at film, I'm wondering what you made of Keith Brown's performance against Arizona and kind of just that whole weak side linebacker group.
Rusty. That's the best way to assess it. He knows that he's got to get in that film room, live in that film room. When you're injured, you got to take advantage of every second, because what you can't get physically, you got to get mentally. And I think he's bought into that. And I trust that he will have a great week of preparation. He played really well, you know, when we were up in Columbus, and now, you know, knocking the rust off after a couple of weeks. He had some really bright moments and some other ones where he knows that, you know, we've got to improve upon. And so having him back to be able to practice as he did yesterday full speed is going to make a big difference.
Yeah, Coach, I guess with Tanner McKee just circling back on that, you had some very high praise for him, and I think a lot of people who have watched him have felt similarly. Is there a player you've coached or coached against that he reminds you of, or maybe a combination of some? I'm just curious on more of your evaluation of him.
He's different. He's going to play for a long, long time. I mean, he can do it all. He really is. He's that impressive. And just when you have that type of command of an offense, when you understand everything from top to bottom, A to Z, run game, pass game, protection, schemes, you know, outnumbered, out-leveraged areas, and how to flip protections, flip runs, all that stuff. It's like having a coordinator on the field, and he is that. And you match that up with the ability he has. It's a dangerous combination. A great football player.
Yeah, Coach, after watching the video, was there anything on a positive nature that stood out that maybe you didn't see in the game itself? That may have been kind of revealed to you?
Oh, I just think our team is a very resilient football team. You know, we games are won in different manners. At the end of the day, you start off a conference play and you win by 22 points. There were some real bright spots in the run game. The turnover ratio continues to climb in our favor. The kicking game continues to improve, particularly on the coverage units. Some really good play from the secondary, some really good play from just different parts of the team. And we recognize that every single week we focus on the things we have to improve. We recognize good play and certainly, you know, praise that. And then we don't overpraise it, but we recognize it and we move forward. But yeah, when you're 1-0, you certainly are you're very positive about that. And you're also very direct about the things that you have to improve upon. And we do both, and we maintain that balance. And I think we think it's important to maintain a level head and a focus required to continue to do that on a week by week basis. So that's what we're doing.
Coach, it looked like Anthony Brown maybe got a little bit dinged up when taking a sack there in the second quarter. Obviously wasn't enough to keep him out from the game, but that makes it 2 weeks in a row that he's taken some hits. And we know he's got a history of injury with his knees too. Is that something you guys are cognizant of, and maybe some play calling and keeping the ball out of his hands in the run game, or are you just kind of hoping that he stays healthy?
You know, everything we design and the way we play football, you know, we certainly teach the right techniques, fundamentals to make sure that we play the game the right way. We call the game to put us in the best position to win. If we ever feel a player is not capable due to limitations from a physical standpoint, an injury standpoint, we certainly make sure we make adjustments where a guy is not put in danger. Anthony has a clean bill of health and has been doing really, really well. And so we'll call the games as, you know, we feel that gives us the best opportunity to win while always keeping our players' health in mind.
CJ is, in terms of when he's been healthy in back-to-back weeks, this is some of his lower opportunities to carry the ball. How, and this week ahead, he's been a tone setter for you guys, in particular against Stanford, and given what they are presently dealing with by way of run defense, how important is he to setting the tone offensively against a Stanford team, who he's had success against in the past?
Well, he is always a very prominent in setting the tone. I think a lot of our players are. He's certainly one of them, as is Travis. The play count, I think, last week affected his touches more than anything. I think that's the best way and the true and transparent and honest way to assess the situation. So he's a great player, critically important to our operation, and he'll continue to do great things for the Ducks.
We haven't seen you get angry much on the sideline. Mm-hmm. At least I can't remember a time where you were so angry like you were on Saturday. And I'm just wondering, after you looked at the tape, is that something maybe you wish you would have done differently, or what's your perspective overall about reprimanding a student athlete on the sideline, just in general?
My perspective is that Chris and I have a real relationship and a real agreement with accountability standards. And that was a big play that hurt the team, and it required a strong and intense verbal message that reestablished our accountability standards. Clarity on that. I think that was achieved. I respect Chris. He respects me. We respect the process. We can't hurt the team. I trust him. Obviously, we want to get him back in the game with a clear mind to attack the opportunity to go win the game. And that's what we did.
Coach, I believe we saw 8 different players make catches for the team on Saturday. Some big explosive plays with Jalen Redd. Just my question is, do you think that having an established go-to number one guy could kind of help this team or this offense? How do you evaluate the wide receiver play?
I think you evaluate every opportunity you have to go win a football game and doing whatever you can to win that game. I think storylines created around, I don't know, anything other than doing whatever is best to win a game from a strategical standpoint is all secondary. We always try to spread the ball around as much as we can because that is effective in helping you win a game. And if you win, you really come out of there not trying to have any regrets. You just assess how you can do it better. And that's really our process. Is I don't think we there's not much focus on creating storylines or anything of that nature. Everything we try to do is for the players, for the program, and to win the game.
Yeah, Mario, their tight ends every year are always a pretty tough matchup. And just, I guess, what have you seen from their group at tight end? And I guess your guys that are going to match up with them, I'm assuming it's probably going to be your linebackers.
Well, they always, like you said, they have great tight ends. They're big, they're physical, multiple personnel groupings. They use their fullbacks really well also. Those guys understand the game really well. They do. They understand leverage. They understand how to block you, how to use their hands. They're also athletic enough to be detached to wide receivers and get open sets and hurt you in the passing game, also creates a matchup problem. So I think you see it every single year from Stanford. You see that their ability to recruit these jumbo athletes that are just really, really explosive and athletic with great ball skills, they're a challenge. They're a challenge, and you have to be able to match these guys up with your very best to do your best to limit the explosive plays that they make with them. So tremendous opportunity for our guys.
Mario, you played a lot of guys on the O-line again. I was just curious after looking back at things, I think it might have been the most work, certainly for Sala, I believe also for Jackson. But just given where things are and certain sacks allowed the last few weeks, how you assess the group as a whole, but whether guys like Sala or Jackson or Dawson are putting themselves not just in position to play, but maybe even compete for and take over starting roles here this week.
Yeah, Sala is really week after week. Sala has continually just gotten better and better and played really well this past game. Jackson had some snaps in there and continued to improve and progress. We're always going to keep the competition up front alive and play the best guys possible to help us win.
That's Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach, brought to you by WVCI. Fight like a duck with cancer care you can count on. From one head coach to the other, Graham Abel is here, ladies and gentlemen, Oregon soccer head coach. Coach,
how are you doing?
I'm great, man. A great weekend for really all Ducks all over the place.
Yeah.
You guys with a heck of a matchup on Friday that we're going to talk about. Volleyball with a 5-set thriller. They won on the road. Women's golf with arguably the best weekend in program history. Oregon football wins at home. We got a fall softball schedule.
A lot of stuff going on.
Cross country started last Thursday. That wasn't really the weekend, but I guess depending on if your Friday was...
Long weekend.
Yeah, it could be a long weekend. So a lot of good things to talk about. You feeling pretty good today?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. But number of coffees, so I'm good.
How many?
Let me say 2 this morning before I left the house. 1 on the way to work. Just got 1 now. So that's 4. 4 Americanos.
What's the normal amount for you?
Ooh. You know, this is the truth. So when I was... used to be with the national team.
Okay.
12 o'clock at night, I'd be working. I'd order a large carafe of coffee with a cup, and I'd order it, and the room service guy would laugh at me because he'd think I'd be playing a practical joke, but no. Large carafe of coffee, get me to 2, 3 a.m., get my work done. get some sleep. Hey, it's the makes the world go round.
Do you end up like sweating in your sleep, no, like with all the caffeine?
Coffee connoisseur. So I went to the best coffee place, my favorite coffee place this weekend down in L.A.
All right.
So really good.
Coffee Insider with Graham Abel. We're coming back after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Is that the sound of an ooey gooey cheesy crunchy slice of P-I-Z-Z-A? Obviously. But as good as that sounds, we think it can get even better. Oh yeah, that's the sound of a freshly opened fizz-filled Pepsi. The only thing that can take this flavor medley of crunchy dough, mouth-watering cheese, and savory sauce to the next level. How about another bite? Pepsi and pizza sound like a match made in heaven and taste even better. Pizza, better with Pepsi. That's what I like.
Doc Insider, your home for the latest news on Oregon athletics on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
You're not too cool for me. And in return, I reciprocate that sentiment. I'll never be too cool for you. I was a man with a plan, but now I'm a dad with a decree, and you can't take that from me. Please let it be noted that I told my job they can dock my pay. Right now, it's just too important to take you to school every day. I want to be legendary for you. I want you to puff out your chest when you go to school the same way I do. I walk taller because of you, because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Right now, our country feels divided, but there's a place where people are coming together.
I was nervous to talk to someone so different than me.
Me too.
Love Has No Labels and One Small Step are helping people with different political views, beliefs, and experiences connect through conversation, and it feels good.
This conversation gives me hope.
It gives me a lot of hope, too.
Take a step toward bringing our country and your community together. Start a conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
Coffee Insider continues as we welcome you back to Duck Insider, presented by OnPoint Community Credit Union. Graham Abel's here, Oregon soccer head coach. Coach, sitting at 5-0-4, 0-0-1 in Pac-12 play after the draw against the number three team in the country on Friday. If you missed it, it was an awesome match to watch. I really enjoyed it. I'll ask you generally first, just to start for us. What'd you see? What'd you like? What'd you take away from Friday's draw against UCLA on the road?
One thing I give our kids so much credit for is they can execute a game plan. In terms of we lay it out for them and we switch some different things up in terms of how we went about defending them and trying to go get the ball back. And it was two different ways to do it on each side of the field, which me and Rachel were going, well, have we gone too far here? But they executed it awesome and they really caused UCLA problems. And we were able to get the ball back higher up the field and really disrupt their rhythm and stop them from playing. So I thought executing that was awesome, and they broke us at times, which we knew that they would, and we defended the 18-yard box really well. And then, you know, in all honesty, we had a couple of chances where if we'd have put one away, we would have won the game.
Yeah.
And we look back going, okay, we should have won that game. So we've come, you know, I think, you know, it's twice now in the space of a couple of years we played the number three team in the country, and one of the games we won, the other game we're walking away going, we should have won.
Yeah.
So that's big progress for us.
You're on that level, and the team believes it now, right?
For sure.
Sure sounds like. The team is there with you.
There's that belief, you know, physically we're in a place where we're able to believe, you know, and we're now adjusted to one another completely, and they, like I said, they get the game plans, they get roles and responsibilities, and they should be proud of themselves. We are, but they should be, you know, first and foremost, they should be proud of themselves the way they handle themselves on Friday night.
Duck soccer on the road in Berkeley, 4 o'clock on Thursday. We'll get to that coming up in a moment. I do want to ask you about Leah Freeman. Made 6 saves. Pretty great performance, safe to assume.
She was great. The entire back line was great. Shar, we played Shar in the 6 just because we knew she could drop into the back line. And yeah, Leah was great, but that entire kind of back 6 was exceptional, to be quite honest with you.
3 straight shutouts. What's been the key?
consistency, I think we spoke about this earlier. We chopped and changed between different personnel all over the place, and it was just hard to get any type of consistency. Last year we did so well with that because, you know, we got lucky, you know, that we were able to keep the lineup consistent, you know, for I think 15 games. So we've got some of that consistency now, so some of that chemistry is starting to build.
Some of those individuals I want to ask you about, Croy Soto and Anna Phillips both kind of jumped off the screen at me. Did they jump off the screen when you were watching again?
Croy Soto is one of the most underrated defenders in the country, I believe. You know, when I've told people this, that, you know, the level's higher than us, and I've been around great defenders, and Croy's challenge is going to be how good does Croy want to be? And we have these conversations constantly, and I think she can be great. And Anna, you know, coming in and adjusting, it's completely different in the UK. Slower game. Still play against very good players, but a little slower, a little bit more tactical. The game in the US is much more stretched, much faster, and she's starting to adjust really nicely. And, you know, the two kids at UCLA had up top for them are, you know, one of them's going to go pro this year, and so they were a handful to defend, and she dealt with them really, really well.
What's the momentum coming out of this game for your squad now?
There's confidence. I would say, you know, we shut the game down in terms of, you know, that game's done. Our focus now switches to Cal, you know, right after kickoff. Right after the end of the game, sorry. That's the way we've always handled things, and it'll be the way we always handle things moving forward. So it's about focusing on the next opponent, and Cal are up next.
What do you want to work on this week before that 4 o'clock start time against Cal on Thursday?
We've got to do a better job at, you know, when we get in transition, I feel as though we're trying to go to goal every single time, and it isn't always on, so we have to do a better job of keeping the ball in a team's defending third, our attacking third, start to generate some possession of the ball. And we can't keep running. You know, that's not possible. We can do it for one game. We can't do it over two games, over a weekend. So we have to make sure we keep the ball a little bit better and let the ball do the work.
How do you manage that as a coaching staff? You know, because I imagine you're telling your student-athletes, like, okay, we're going to go win this one. But yep. What you're talking about is kind of managing an entire weekend and season, right?
Yep. Well, we take it game by game. You know, the only game you can win is the one that's directly in front of you. So we look at that piece. But if we're able to do certain things in terms of one's keeping possession of the ball, making sure we stay compact as a team, so the distances that we have to run are minimal as opposed to running 40 yards,
you're having to run
10 yards. If we're able to do that, then you're able to manage a game while still attacking and still doing everything you need to do to win the game.
It's on Pac-12 Network coming up Thursday. It's perfect because you get like happy hour time for 4 o'clock with a start time.
I wish it was happy hour for me. So
well,
it might not look good in the Pac-12 Network.
That's right. That's right. Pac-12 Network will have the broadcast. You can also stream it via the Pac-12 app. 4 o'clock against Cal. What's the report on the Golden Bears? Are they any good this year?
Yeah, I mean, they had the number one recruiting class of the nation. So fair play to them with regards to that. So. No, they're always a good team. You know, anytime you go to the Bay Area, you're dealing with two teams, you know, both athletic, both got real quality. But any Pac-12 weekend's the same. So it's best league in America. So every game's a good game.
Stanford, the next game on the docket, Sunday, 1 o'clock. So you guys are going to be down there actually when Oregon football is, and I'm happy to report. Rob Mosley's actually going down with you guys, which means that you're going to see some extra stuff on GoDucks.com coming from Oregon soccer because Rob's getting a 2-for-1 with both squads in the Bay Area.
Getting the big dog with us.
Well, don't tell him that, you know. Don't tell him that, but yeah, that's right. So it's going to be pretty cool, though, for you guys on the road. You know, and this is kind of always a cool deal, I think, when you have players for you guys all over the world now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the one example, we talked about Leah Freeman a little bit earlier. I mean, she gets to go home a little bit. How do you manage that as a coach? I mean, I know that COVID changes things, right?
Yeah.
But it is nice when players get to see their family sometimes, doesn't it?
It's funny. Earlier in my career, it was always about, you know, hey, you go to the hotel, it's business and things like that. And then I worked for a really good head coach, Matt Potter, when I was at Oklahoma and Washington State. And he used to talk about, well, you know, you going on the road is tough. Mm-hmm. So how do you replicate what's at home? Well, they're not sitting in their apartments all day.
That's true.
Before a game and stuff. So we try to keep the rhythm similar. You know, friends and family time, it's there. And things are getting more relaxed. Now, we still have to stick to certain things, and we still put those pieces in place. But I want them to be able to see their friends and family. They're human beings, number one. And I think coming out of this whole piece with COVID, we need to be extremely sensitive to that. And our kids have done an awesome job of when it's time to perform, they get that piece right. So as long as we're doing all the right things with regards to that, then friends and family time, having, you know, friends and family around, it's awesome, and we want that.
Well, I love that. I mean, what you're talking about is balance, right? I mean, not just for a student athlete, but for anybody, that's important.
And, you know, the world's been all over the place, right? Yeah. Still is. So I think, you know, making sure that, and you're spot on, making sure that balance is there for everybody, and, you know, we can all kind of get, you know, go down the rabbit hole. in this business in particular,
sure.
in this industry, as coaches and as administrators, and so we have to be careful that our kids don't get caught up in that.
Lastly, a soccer question for you.
Go on.
We've talked a lot about the defense. When you get three straight shutouts, that's important. You talked a little bit about not always wanting to just try to score right away.
Yeah.
But you do want to score, right? What are your keys on the offensive side? What do you want to see to create some opportunities for your squad?
You know, we've done a good job of creating opportunities thus far. And, you know, I think one of the things I said earlier is we have to sustain attacks in the attacking third. Have to keep the ball in the attacking third. We can't rely on just winning the ball and trying to hit one ball in behind or trying to score from 30 yards. And so we're going to do a little bit of work on it this week. You know, we have the one true practice this week. And I think moving forward, we probably have maybe six real practices left in the season.
No kidding.
You know, yeah, I mean, when you think about it, we've got, what, 6 weekends left or something like that? 7 weekends left of the season. So in terms of the later we get into the season, it's about recovery and performance in games. So and getting everybody back to full health. So it's, some of our kids are covering 14, 15, 16 kilometers a game right now. So it's making sure they're taking care of themselves.
So how much more is it, you know, toward the end of the season as it goes on, more about the mental sweat than it is the physical sweat?
For sure. It's a lot more walkthroughs. It's a lot more, to be honest, I think our sport can take a lot from football, you know, in terms of the way those guys do walkthroughs and things like that, and meetings. And I learned a lot from mentors that I worked with a Swedish coach, Tony Gustafsson, who was exceptional with regards to walkthroughs and meetings and presenting information. So as we get towards the back end of the year, it'll be more of that piece and making sure we take care of them to win in the best place physically.
And how many more cups of coffee today?
I've got one on my desk right now.
Okay.
Hot, ready to go.
Do you have a mug warmer? Do we need to get you one of those things to keep it hot?
No, I don't, but that might be a good purchase. I have a number of different types of coffee cups. So my wife bought me one of those espresso machines for Christmas, like the real nice ones, a couple of Christmases ago. Dangerous, but what a gift. I advise anybody out there, heck of a gift.
That was a wedding gift for my wife. She uses it every day. She also, and maybe you're similar with the amount of coffee cups, we have an entire cabinet that is not just mugs, but travel cups.
You know, this is what happens. You go on the road, you forget your travel mug.
And then you buy
a travel mug. So it's, I've got a number of them that have... They're out there for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. Graham Abel, Oregon soccer head coach. Hey, best of luck down there.
As always, thank you.
I'm sure we'll see you, you know, across the hall here at one of these
days. Come over and have a coffee if you want.
You know, you think I'll ever like coffee?
You should. It's going to change your life.
See, I don't want to have to rely on it when I wake up in the morning.
Think about it. You call in the game at Autzen, 4 o'clock in the fall, winter, nice hot coffee.
Yeah, but then
changes everything.
But then I got to rely on
that
caffeine.
That touchdown just seems so much better.
You know, Coach Altman famously told me a couple years ago, I said, you know, Coach, I don't drink coffee. And am I ever going to drink coffee? Because Coach Altman, he loves coffee. And he said, well, Joey, I didn't start drinking coffee until I was in my 30s. So there's still hope for you yet.
I never drank it before I moved to America.
Really?
Yeah. I started off with the old caramel macchiatos. Then realized they were about 9,000 calories. Uh-huh, so I thought I better drop down.
Okay.
Now I'm straight black.
All right. I'm speechless. I got nothing for you. Ducks on the road, Oregon soccer, 4 o'clock, Berkeley, California on Thursday. You can watch on the Pac-12 Network. Also, 1 o'clock on Sunday, the Ducks will stay in the Bay Area and take on Stanford. Best of luck to Graham Abel.
Appreciate it.
The entire Oregon soccer team. When we come back, an update on picks. Talk about two guys that drink too much coffee. Well, it worked out for Jorgie this week in picks. We're back after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon.
We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
This is Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesmen to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Look out, world, we're getting strong. The future's here and we belong.
She can sail, she can do more.
Like build a rocket and watch it soar.
Or clean the oceans and make the world a better place. Oh,
she can sail, so can you.
Find a cure,
invent something new.
There's no challenge in the world that she can't face.
She can STEM.
Learn more at She Can STEM. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Today's show brought to you by our friends at Hoodoo. Big slopes, rounded buttes, wide open terrain. Dig into deep savings. Get your season pass now. Hoodoo.com. That's right. It is pouring rain in Eugene, Springfield today, by the way. Welcome back, students. God, it was like Chamber of Commerce, great weather for kickoff on Saturday. And you could tell that the student section was well lubricated, and it was awesome to see. But now that it's raining outside, I just kept thinking to myself, like, God, yeah, great weekend, and then just rain to start classes. There's just something about that just doesn't seem right to me. Hey, an update for you on Oregon volleyball as well. Saturday against Arizona State, your Cafe Yum two-minute drill, a five-setter that the Ducks won 25-19, 25-14, and then it was, they lost it 23-25 in back-to-back sets, but really I thought took care of business, a 15-7 win in set five. Carson Bacon was just absolutely outstanding, a career day in terms of blocks and hitting percentage, over 700 she hit, really, really impressive for the Ducks. They are still rocking and rolling. We're going to talk to Matt Ulmer coming up on the show tomorrow, and it's going to be a good time. For Oregon soccer, I wasn't going to say this when Coach Abel was here because he's going to want me to just focus his team on Cal, but Oregon is unbeaten in its last 11 games. Ducks are 7-0-4 in its last 11, dating back to last year. First shutout against UCLA in program history, and the second longest such streak in program history with that 11 games unbeaten. It's going to be a little while until we get to another record, because the record is 21 consecutive matches that the team went unbeaten from 1980 to 1981. Pretty impressive streak for some of the best teams in Oregon soccer history. That's what the Ducks are chasing right now. Oregon soccer, though, off to a great start. And another quick revisit to finish up your Cafe Yum two-minute drill. Menus are always available at CafeYum.com. Oregon women's golf, awesome, awesome weekend. The Ducks won the Mason Rudolph Championship with a program record, scoring against par at 16 under. And the individual medalist was Cynthia Liu, who was absolutely outstanding in her first collegiate victory and the first win by a Duck in a tournament since only 2018. That tells you something there. Talking about our picks as we wrap things up, Georgie went 5-0. He picked Washington and he picked the Beavs. I went 3-2. Georgie is now tied with me in our Pac-12 picks. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Watch out!
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Been listening to Doc Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Oregon Sports Network. This is a presentation of Learfield.
The celebration begins.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.